السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آجکل بدری صحابہ کا میں ذکر کر رہا ہوں.
The companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who participated in the Battle of Badr. Some of them are well described in history, while many get only a brief reference. However, their great stature and place in history is confirmed as they participated in the Battle of Badr. Thus, they should be mentioned, even if only in a few lines, and many of the companions I will mention today will only be described very briefly. The first of these companions is Hazrat Subayr bin Qais bin Aisha. His grandfather's name has been variably written as Abasa or Aisha. In any case, he was from among the Ansar, i.e. the inhabitants of Medina, and belonged to the tribe of Khazraj. He participated in the Battle of Badr and also the Battle of Uhud. His mother's name was Khadija bint Umar bin Zaid, and he had a son called Abdullah, who died in early childhood, whose mother belonged to the tribe Banu Jazara. Apart from this, he had no other children. Hazrat Ibada bin Qais was his brother, and he also had another brother called Zaid bin Qais. The second name is that of Hazrat Unais bin Qitada, who died during the Battle of Uhud. According to some historians, they write his name as Anas. However, the correct name is Unais. Both Muhammad bin Ishaq and Muhammad bin Umar have written Unais. He was with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, during the Battle of Badr and was martyred during the Battle of Uhud. He also did not have any children, and according to one tradition, Hazrat Khansa bin Khuddam was married to Hazrat Unais bin Qitada at the time of his martyrdom. Then there is another companion by the name of Hazrat Malal bin Wabra. And again, different versions of his name are recorded. But Ibn Ishaq and Abu Naim have both written his name as Malal bin Wabra bin Abdul Karim bin Khalid bin Ajla. On the other hand, Umar and Kalbi have written it as Malal bin Wabra bin Khalid bin Ajla, omitting the name Abdul Karim. He also belonged to the tribe Khazraj, and his branch was Banu Ajlan. He took part in the battles of Badr and Uhud. And he had two children, Zaid and Habiba, whose mother was Zaid bint Nazla bin Malik. His progeny did not last beyond his children, and he was known as Khalid bin Ajlan. And according to one tradition, it is reported that he accompanied the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and all the other battles. Another companion was Hazrat Nawfil bin Abdullah bin Nazla, and he was also martyred during the Battle of Uhud. Some have written his name as Nawfil bin Salba bin Abdullah bin Nazla bin Malik bin Ajlan. He also participated in the battles of Badr and Uhud, and his lineage did not last either. Another companion is Wadiya bin Amr, and Ibn Kalbi has written his name as Wadiya bin Amr bin Yasar bin Auf, whereas Abu Mashr calls him Rafa bin Amr bin Jarad. He belonged to the tribe Banu Juhana, which was aligned with Banu Najjar, and he took part in the Battle of Badr and also the Battle of Uhud. And Hazrat Rabia bin Amr was his brother. Then there is a companion by the name Hazrat Yazid bin Munzir bin Sarah bin Khunas. He belonged to the tribe of Banu Khazraj, and he participated in the Bayt, i.e. the Pledge of Allegiance, taken at Uqba. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, formed a bond of brotherhood, i.e. Muakhat, between Hazrat Yazid bin Munzir and Amir bin Rabia. He participated in the battles of Badr and Uhud. At the time of his demise, he had no children, and his brother Maqir bin Munzir also participated in the Bayt at Uqba, as well as the battles of Badr and Uhud. Then there is a companion by the name of Hazrat Kharja bin Humayr Ashjai, and many different opinions with regards to his name can be found in history. Ibn Ishaq has mentioned his name as Kharja bin Humayr, while Musa bin Uqba has mentioned his name as Harisa bin Humayr, and Waqdi has mentioned his name as Hamza bin Humayr. There is also a difference of opinion with relation to the name of his father. Some have stated his name as Humayr, whereas others have written it as Jumeirah and Jumeir. Nonetheless, everyone agrees on the fact that he belonged to the tribe of Ashja, which was an ally of the tribe of Banu Khazraj. His brother's name is Abdullah bin Humayr, who participated alongside him in the Battle of Badr. Then we find a mention of Hazrat Suraqa bin Amr. He was an Ansari, a Muslim living in Medina. His full name is Suraqa bin Amr bin Atiyah bin Hansa Ansari, and he passed away in Jumadiyul Awal, by the 5th month of the lunar calendar, in the 8th year of Hijrah, during the Battle of Mu'tah. His full name was Suraqa bin Amr bin Atiyah bin Hansa Ansari. The name of his mother was Utaylah bint Qais. and Suraka belonged to the renowned tribe of the Ansar, Banu Najjar. There are differing opinions in relation to his acceptance of Islam. According to some, he accepted Islam a short while prior to the migration of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to Medina. Whereas, according to others, he accepted Islam a short while after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had migrated. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, formed a bond of brotherhood, ay muwakhat, between Nahja Mawla Amr and Suraka bin Amr. He participated in the battles of Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, and Khaybar. Furthermore, he was also blessed to be in the company of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as well as Umratul Qaza'i, the first pilgrimage to Mecca. Hazrat Suraka bin Amr was among those fortunate companions who were blessed with the opportunity to partake in the Bayt-e Rizwan. He did not have any progeny, and as I mentioned earlier, he was martyred in the 8th year of Hijrah during the Battle of Mu'tah. Then there is another companion by the name of Hazrat Abbad bin Qais. He also passed away in the 8th year of Hijrah during the Battle of Mu'tah. There are also some differing opinions in relation to his name as well. His name can be found as Abada bin Qais bin Aisha. Similarly, the name of his grandfather is also mentioned as Abasa. Hazrat Abbad was the paternal uncle of Hazrat Abu Darda. And Hazrat Abbad rode together with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, during the battles of Badr, Uhud, and Khandaq, and Khaybar. He also participated in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and he was martyred during the Battle of Mu'tah. Then there is Hazrat Abu Az-Zuya bin Thabit bin Numan. He passed away in the 7th year of Hijrah, and according to one narration, his name has been mentioned as Umar bin Thabit bin Numan bin Umayyah bin Imra'ul Qais. And according to another narration, it is Numan bin Thabit bin Imra'ul Qais. He was known by his title Abu Az-Zuya. He participated in the Battle of Badr, Uhud, and Khandaq, as well as in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He was martyred in the 7th year of Hijrah during the Battle of Khaybar. It is narrated that a Jew struck him and severed his head, as a result of which he was martyred. Then there is a companion, Hazrat Anasa, and he passed away during the Battle of Badr. However, there are different opinions in relation to this, as some say that he was alive until the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Nevertheless, he was a freed Abyssinian slave of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. His name was Anasa, and it can also be found as Abu Anasa. Similarly, according to some, his title was Abu Masrur. Hazrat Anasa accepted Islam in its early stages and migrated to Medina at the time of migration. He became the guest of Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaisma, and for as long as he was alive, his favorite activity was to serve the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He was so obedient that it is narrated that even when he used to take a seat, he would do so only after taking permission from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He fought alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in the Battle of Badr. Then there is Hazrat Abu Qabsha Sulaim, and his title is Abu Qabsha. And he passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. According to some, his name was Salma, and he was a freed Persian slave of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He was a companion who participated in the Battle of Badr, and was born in the area of Aws. There are various narrations regarding his birthplace and lineage. Some consider him to be Persian, whilst others consider him to be Dosi, and others consider him to be from Mecca. He accepted Islam in the very early stages and migrated to Medina after receiving permission to do so. And he fought alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, during every battle, including the Battle of Badr. When Hazrat Abu Kabsha migrated to Medina, he stayed with Hazrat Kulthum bin al-Hadam. And according to other narrations, it is reported that he stayed with Hazrat Sa'd bin Kathma. Hazrat Abu Kabsha passed away on the first night after Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was elected as Khalifa. And so this was on the 22nd Jumadi al-Thani, i.e. the 6th month of the lunar calendar, in the 13th year of Hijrah. Then there is Hazrat Marsad bin Abi Marsad. And he passed away during the month of Safar, i.e. the 2nd month of the lunar calendar, in the 3rd year of Hijrah. He was a companion who participated in the Battle of Badr. He was an ally of Hazrat Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. He participated in the Battle of Uhud along with his father. He accepted Islam in its initial stages and migrated to Medina prior to the Battle of Badr. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, formed a bond of brotherhood, i.e. muwakhat, between him and Hazrat Aws bin Samit. On the day of the Battle of Badr, he approached on a horse whose name was Sabal, and Ibn Ishaq has written that Hazrat Marsad, may Allah be pleased with him, was the leader of that group of soldiers which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sent to Raji. This incident took place during the month of Safar, in the 3rd year of Hijrah. And according to some, Hazrat Asim bin Thabit was the leader of that group. And the incident of his martyrdom is as follows, that Banu Azal Anqara pretended to have accepted Islam and requested the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to send some teachers in order to provide them with religious education. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sent them a group of people. There is a difference of opinion found on this matter in the narrations as to whether it was sent in the leadership of Hazrat Marsad, may Allah be pleased with him, or Hazrat Asim, may Allah be pleased with him. These people had barely reached the place of Raji when Banu Huzail approached them with their bare swords and said that we do not wish to kill you. Rather, we wish to receive a ransom from the people of Mecca and we promise to protect your lives. Upon this, Hazrat Marsad, Khalid and Asim, may Allah be pleased with them all, said that we do not trust your promise. Hence, all three gave their lives fighting against them. Then there is another companion by the name of Hazrat Abu Marsad bin Qanas bin al-Husayn Ghanwi. He passed away in the 12th year of Hijrah, and according to some people, his title was Abu Hisn. He was a resident of Syria. He accepted Islam in its very early stages and migrated to Medina after seeking permission to do so. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, formed a bond of brotherhood, i.e. muwakhat, between him and Hazrat Ibadah bin Samit. When Abu Marsad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and his son Marsad migrated to Medina, both of them stayed with Hazrat Kulthum bin al-Hadam, and according to some, both of them stayed with Hazrat Sa'd bin Haytham. Hazrat Abu Marsad was with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in all the battles. He also has the status in history for the following account. Hazrat Hatib bin Abi Balta sent a letter to the Meccans to secretly inform them of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's plan, with the thought of protecting his children there. God Almighty informed the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about this, and so he sent three riders after the woman who was taking this letter, and they took it from her. Hazrat Abu Marsad was one of the three riders, and it is narrated from Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sent Abu Marsad Ghanwi, Zubair and I, as we were able to ride a horse, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, go until you reach the place called Rozai Khah. and there you will find a woman from amongst the idol worshippers who has the letter from Hatib bin Abi Balta addressed to the idol worshippers. This incident is mentioned in Bukhari. Hazrat Abu Marsad also narrated a hadith, i.e. a tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which is mentioned in Muslim and Baghawi. He states that I heard the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saying that do not sit on graves and do not pray in their direction. Hazrat Abu Marsad passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the 12th Hijri at the age of 66. Then there is another companion named Hazrat Salid bin Qais bin Amr. He passed away in 14th Hijri. His full name was Hazrat Salid bin Qais bin Amr bin Ubaid bin Malik. After accepting Islam, both Hazrat Salid bin Qais and Hazrat Abu Salma destroyed the idols of the family of Banu Adi bin Najjar. And on the occasion of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's migration to Medina, when he was entering the city on his camel, every tribe desired that he stayed at their home. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's camel reached the house of Banu Adi, and they were his maternal uncles, because Salma bint Amr, the mother of Abdul Muttalib, was from them among their tribe. At that time, Hazrat Salid bin Qais and Asira bin Abu Khwarja tried to stop the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that leave my camel, as it is moving under divine guidance. That is, it will stop wherever God Almighty desires. Hazrat Salid took part in the battles of Badr, Uhud and Khandaq, and all the other battles with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He passed away in the 14th of Hijri during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu at the Battle of Jisr in Abi Ubaid. Hazrat Mujazzar bin Ziyad was martyred during the Battle of Uhud. Mujazzar was his title, which means a person possessing a heavy body. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, established brotherhood, i.e. muwakhat, between Hazrat Mujazzar and Aqil bin Buqair. And it is mentioned in another place that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, established brotherhood between Hazrat Mujazzar and Hazrat Uqasha bin Mahsin. Hazrat Mujazzar participated in the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud, and Ibn Ishaq narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had prohibited the killing of Abu Bakhtri because he prevented people of Mecca from tormenting the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And so, in exchange, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had stated that do not kill him. And Abu Bakhtri himself would also not cause any suffering to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And he was amongst those who protested against the pact of the Quraysh against the Banu Hashim and Banu Muttalib. Hazrat Mujazzar once came across Abu Bakhtri and said that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has prevented us from killing you. And Abu Bakhtri's friend, who had left Mecca with him, was with him at the time. His name was Janaza bin Mulayha, and he was from the Banu Lays tribe. And Abu Bakhtri's name was As. He inquired that what instructions do you have for my friend? Hazrat Mujazzar responded that I swear by God, we will not spare your friend. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has instructed us only about you. And so he responded that if we are going to die, then we shall die together. Because I cannot bear the thought of Meccan women talking about this and saying that I abandoned my companion to save my own life. And so, both of them prepared for a fight with Hazrat Mujazzar, and he killed Abu Bakhtri. Hazrat Mujazzar then came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said that I swear by the one who ordained you with the truth, that I tried my utmost to take him as a prisoner, and that I bring him to you, but he was unwilling. At last, he fought me, and I took his life. Hazrat Mujaz's children were in Medina and also in Baghdad, and it is narrated by Abi Wajziya that the three men amongst the martyrs of Uhud who were buried in a single grave were Mujazzir bin Ziyad, Numad bin Malik, and Abda bin Hassas. However, there is also another narration that states that Hazrat Anisa bint Adi came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and stated that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, my son Abdullah, who fought in the Battle of Badr, was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And it is my desire that I bury my son near our home, so that I remain close to him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, allowed her to do so, and it was also decided that along with Hazrat Abdullah, his friend Hazrat Mujazzir shall also be buried in the same grave. Hence, both friends were wrapped together in one single sheet of cloth and were carried to Medina on a camel. Abdullah was bulkier and more well-built than Mujazzir, who was slim and slender. And it is mentioned that people were astonished to notice that they both weighed the same when people took them off the camel. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that their deeds have made them both equal to each other. Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir bin Jumu was a companion who passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, during the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, Khandaq, and all other battles. He remained resolute alongside the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, during the Battle of Uhud, and took the oath of allegiance upon his demise. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes about him in Sirat Khatamun Nabiyyin, i.e. the life and character of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that the location where the Muslim army was staying was not great. So Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that have you selected this location due to divine guidance, or was it selected merely on the basis of military tactics? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, there has been no divine guidance regarding this matter, so you can share your suggestion freely if you wish. Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir stated, in that case, this is not a good location in my view. It would be better to move forward and occupy the springs located closest to the army of the Quraysh. He said, I am aware that this spring produces a good quality of water and it is usually sufficient in quantity. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, appreciated this suggestion. And since the Quraysh were on the other side of the hill and the spring was unoccupied, the Muslim army moved forward and occupied it. However, as it has been recorded in the Holy Quran, that this spring did not produce much water, and the Muslims experienced this shortage. And it also happened that the location in the valley where the Muslims were situated was not good, because there was too much sand, and it would not allow one's feet to settle properly. But then, by the grace of God Almighty, it rained a little, and this gave Muslims the opportunity to create a reservoir to contain water, and the sand became more firm, and their feet would therefore not cave in the sand. On the other hand, the enemy ground became muddy, and their water became somewhat dirty and impure. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that Hazrat Jibrail descended upon the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said that Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir's suggestion is correct. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that, O Hubab, your advice was wise. At the time of the Battle of Badr, Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir was carrying the flag of the Khazraj tribe. He was 33 years old at the time. And Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, further writes about him in Sirat Khatum al-Nabiyyin, by the life and character of the seal of the prophets, that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was notified by his informants about the army of the Quraysh that they were closing in, he dispatched one of his companions named Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir and instructed him to determine the numbers and the strength of the enemy. He also advised him that if you find out the strength and the numbers of the enemy is great and the situation is dangerous for the Muslims, then do not mention it openly. Rather, just mention that privately so it does not affect the morale of the Muslims. And so Hubab went there secretly and returned shortly thereafter and updated the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, about everything. Yahya bin Sa'ad narrates that on the day of Qurayza and on the day of An-Nazir, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, sought counsel from people, Hazrat Hubab bin Munzir stood up and said, "I am of the opinion that we settle down in the midst of the army camps, that is, go to the location closest to the army in order to obtain intelligence and carry out better surveillance." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, acted upon his suggestion. He passed away during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away, and how Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu controlled the entire situation and the condition of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them all. In regards to that, it has been mentioned that after praising the Lord, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stated that, "Look, whoever worshipped Muhammad, peace be upon him, should know that Muhammad, peace be upon him, has surely passed away. And whoever worshipped God should keep in mind that God is alive and he shall never pass away." Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then recited the following verse, that "Innaka mayyatun wa innahum mayyatun." That is, that surely thou will die and surely they too will die. He then recited the following verse of the Holy Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الرُّسُولِ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. That is, and Muhammad is only a messenger. Verily, all messengers have passed away before him. If then he die or be slain, will you turn back on your heels? And he who turns back on his heels shall not harm Allah at all, and Allah will certainly reward the grateful. Suleiman mentions that upon hearing this, people cried so extensively that they began to weep convulsively. Suleiman further relates that the other Ansar companions gathered around Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah at the house of Bani Sa'adah and said to him, "There shall be one leader amongst us and one leader amongst you." Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, and Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Al-Jarrah came to them. And Hazrat Umar was about to speak when Hazrat Abu Bakr instructed him to stop. Hazrat Umar would say, "I swear by Allah, I had prepared a speech for what I intended to say, and I was pleased with it. But I was afraid that Hazrat Abu Bakr would not be able to deliver a similar speech." However, after that, Hazrat Abu Bakr delivered a speech which was more eloquent than the speech of any other person. During his speech, he also stated that "we are the leaders whilst you are the ministers." Upon hearing this, Hubab bin Munzir said, "It can never be so. By God, it can never be so." I am mentioning this because the name of Hubab bin Munzir has been mentioned here. And so, upon hearing this, Hubab bin Munzir said, "It can never be so. By God, it can never be so. There will be one leader from amongst us and one leader from amongst you." That is to say that there will be one leader from amongst the Quraysh and one leader amongst the Ansar. However, Hazrat Abu Bakr replied, "No, we are the leaders and you are the ministers, because the Quraysh hold precedence over all of Arabia in caste and in lineage are ancient Arabs." Therefore, take initiation at the hand of Umar or Abu Ubaidah. However, Hazrat Umar responded that no, rather we will take initiation at your hand, because you are our chief and the best amongst us, and you are dearer to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, than any of us. After saying this, he held the hand of Hazrat Abu Bakr and took initiation at his hand, and others followed, and therefore at that moment everyone else also took the initiation at his hand. Hazrat Ubab bin Munzin narrates that Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, "Out of these, what is most preferred to you, that you remain in this world with your companions, or to return to your Lord, where you will be granted everlasting provisions in paradise that have been vouchsafed to you? Furthermore, all that which you desire and everything that is a means of providing satisfaction to you have also been promised." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, turned to his companions and asked, "What is your opinion?" The companions replied that, "O Messenger of Allah, we prefer that you stay with us so that you can inform us of the weaknesses of our enemies, and then pray to God Almighty to grant us his help to defeat them. Likewise, you can confer to us divine revelation." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then turned to Hubab bin Munzir and said, "What is your opinion? You are very quiet." At this, Hubab bin Munzir replied, "O Messenger of Allah, you should choose the path that which God Almighty has preferred for you." Hazrat Hubab says that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, accepted this statement of mine. Then there was a companion, Hazrat Rifa' bin Rafi bin Malik bin Najlan, who was from among the Ansar. He passed away under the early rule of Amir Muawiyah. Hazrat Rifa' bin Rafi bin Malik bin Ajlan was known as Abu Muaz, and his mother was Malik bint Ubay bin Salul, who was the sister of the chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He was present during the Bayt-e-Uqba, as well as the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Ditch, Bayt-e-Rizwan, and all other battles in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, took part in. Two of his brothers, Khalad bin Rafi and Malik bin Rafi, took part in the Battle of Badr. Hazrat Muaz narrates, on account of his father, Hazrat Rifa bin Rafi, who took part in the Battle of Badr, that Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam asked the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his perception about those companions who took part in the Battle of Badr. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that the best among the Muslims, or words to this effect. Hazrat Jibrail alayhi salam then replied, "In the same manner, those angels that took part in the Battle of Badr are also superior in rank." This hadith, by tradition, is found in Bukhari. In regards to how angels participated in the Battle of Badr, Hazrat Sayyid Zainul Abidin Shah Sahib has explained this incident in his commentary of Bukhari, in which he states, that God Almighty states in the Holy Quran, "إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ فَثَبِّتُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَأُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ فَاضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْأَعْنَاقِ وَاضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانٍ." And that is, "And remember the time when thy Lord revealed to the angels, saying, 'I am with you, so give firmness to those who believe. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Smite then the upper parts of their neck, and smite off all fingertips.'" Zarbul Anaq and Zarbul Riqab and Zarbu Kulla Banan means a striking with full force and keeping the target in sight. There are two or three similar narrations, and regarding these, Shah Sahib writes, "This chapter deals with the presence of angels in the Battle of Badr and seeing them. The reality of the matter is that it was in the form of divine revelation and vision. And so them fighting in the battle is also of the same nature. In other words, the battle was of the equivalent for angels and not with arrows and muskets. The angels did not use arrows or swords, and one can only see them through one's spiritual eye and not with a physical eye. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has witnessed this, as well as the companions and other saints. Whilst elaborating on how angels partake in the battle, Shah Sahib writes, "The tribe of Quraysh became enraged after the incident of Nakhla, and this became the cause of further battles in which the disbelievers were to perish according to divine prophecy." He further states that the nature of angels is different to ours, and their way of battle is unique. During the Battle of Badr, the enemy camped on a high stony mound, and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, camped at the foot of that hill. Also, the scarce numbers of the Muslims were concealed from the enemy, and due to the winds blowing, it rained heavily, and also the fact that every arrow that the companions fired landed on its target successfully, and that the enemy was perplexed to see the companions fighting with such resolve and determination. All of this was due to the divine influence of the angels. And this was vouchsafed to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in the following words. That is, تَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. And that is, and remember the time when you implored the assistance of your Lord, and he answered you, saying, "I will assist you with 1,000 of the angels, following one another." He further writes, "The acceptance of the prayer of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, ensured that the certain measures fall in place at the appointed time. If one ponders over these events, one can witness the power and influence of the angels." He then further writes, "Who was it that enabled the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to leave Mecca under precarious circumstances, whilst keeping the Meccans ignorant of the events? And having chased the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, up to the cave sword, who was it that made them turn back empty-handed? And who enabled the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to safely reach Medina, which was to become an important center for the progress of Islam?" He also writes, "After the migration to Medina, Hazrat Abbas remained in Mecca in his state of idolatry. But at the same time, he had sympathy for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and would inform him of the ploys of the Meccans." In other words, through Hazrat Abbas, the angels exerted their influence. This is how the angels work. Behind all these incidents is the work of the angels. The victory and the success of the battles in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, fought is an exegesis of the faith-inspiring verse that أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. That is, "I will assist you with 1,000 of the angels following one another." Shah Sahib then further writes, "That I was taught every chapter of Sahih al-Bukhari by Khalifatul Masih I, Hazrat Mawlana Nuruddin Sahib, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, I listened to lectures delivered on the Holy Quran and also studied it. And with regards to angels, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, stated that Nuruddin has also experienced communion with angels, and the entire system of angels is very vast. For each ability and faculty of man, there is an assigned angel, such as for sight, hearing, touch, temperament, knowledge, wisdom, and all mental abilities. Without the assistance of angels, these faculties are redundant. Rather, they become harmful. All of man's abilities and faculties only function with the help of angels." He further writes, "An arrow, bullet, or taking an aim can only accurately reach the target when one's mind and intellect are intact, and one can determine the distance of how far or close something really is. Moreover, one needs to be in control of their senses and emotions, otherwise the target will be missed. He writes that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that angels have been appointed for every physical and mental faculty. Whether one is in a state of belief or disbelief, they have a relationship with every person and with each faculty to a certain degree. The Holy Quran mentions that they were 3,000 at the time of the Battle of Badr, and 5,000 in the Battle of Uhud. This difference in number is due to the importance of the situation. During the Battle of Badr, the enemies were few in number as compared to the Battle of Uhud, and thus there was more danger, and therefore the greater the number of angels promised to be sent for protection. God Almighty states, وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. That is, the promise of divine help from God Almighty's attributes of being the Almighty and All-Wise both necessitate perfect planning and complete might and strength, in which all the means of granting help are closely linked to one another. There exists an aspect of continuity and divine commandment, and they are strengthened through strong divine planning. Thus, this is the deeper meaning wherein God Almighty stated that He sent angels who fought. However, it does not mean that the angels were physically fighting, because according to some there are narrations stating that the wounds inflicted by the angels upon the enemy were completely different in appearance to the ones inflicted by the companions. However, this is completely wrong. The truth of the matter is that they direct the human faculties and they ensure that they are utilized in the best manner. And when all of this is happening through the influence of the angels, then it is as if it is they who are actually fighting. Hazrat Yahya relates from Muaz bin Rifa' bin Rafi that Hazrat Rifa' was from among those who took part in the Battle of Badr, and his father, Hazrat Rafi', was among those who had taken the Bayt at Uqba. And Hazrat Rafi' used to say to his son, Hazrat Rifa', that for him taking part in the Battle of Badr was a more honorable and of greater significance than taking Bayt at Uqba. In other words, being part of the Battle of Badr was a huge honor. Hazrat Rifa' bin Rafi' also took part in the Battle of Jamal and Siffin alongside Hazrat Ali. And according to a narration, when Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair left for Basra along with the army, the wife of Hazrat Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, whose name was Umm al-Fadl bint Haris, informed Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu of their departure. Upon this, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, that I am astounded at the fact that people attacked Hazrat Usman and martyred him, and yet without any compulsion they took my bath. I did not force them to take my bath. People took the bath, and Talha and Zubair also took the bath, and now they have left for Iraq with an army. Hazrat Rifa' bin Rafi' commented on this, and said, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away, we assumed that we, the Ansar, were more deserving of the Khilafat, for we helped the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and we have a very high status in faith. However, you all said that we, the Muhajireen, those who migrated from Makkah, are from amongst the first to accept Islam, and we are friends and have close relations with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Therefore, for the sake of God Almighty, do not hinder us from Khilafat. Thus, you know well that at the time we left Khilafat with you, and we never argued with you over this, and took the bath of Khilafat showing complete obedience. And the reason for this is because we witnessed that the truth was being practiced, the Book of God was being followed, and the Sunnah, i.e. the practice of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was being established. Therefore, we had no reason not to be content with this, and what more could we want? And so we took your bath, and then we never turned our backs from this. You are better than those who oppose you now, therefore give us your instructions. Just as he said this, Hajjaj bin Wazir Ansari came and said that, O leader of the faithful, we must seek to take action against this issue before it's too late. My soul will never be at ease if I was overcome with fear. He then said, O people of Ansar, help the leader of the faithful once again, just as you did so for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. I swear by God that this support will be just like the support we offered the first time around. But that support, of course, is superior. In any case, he died during the early period of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah's leadership. And so this was the description of the companions. I also wish to say something in reference to the last Friday's sermon and further elaborate on a particular incident. It was mentioned in regards to Hazrat Ammar that Hazrat Amr bin al-As expressed great sorrow and concern at his demise because he had heard that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, state that Ammar will be martyred by a rebellious group. And so, Hazrat Amr bin al-As showed great concern, because at the time he was on the side of Amir Muawiyah, and it was the army of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah which martyred Hazrat Ammar. Nevertheless, people raised the question that if he was from among those who rebelled, then why so much respect given to his name? Also, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah has been given a significant status in the literature of the Jamaat. Firstly, in regards to the status of the companions, it is not for us to determine the fate of the companions. Due to whatever misunderstanding and error those unfortunate circumstances arose, that matter should now be left with God Almighty alone, and the Muslims, in fact, have faced the consequences of that too. These questions also arose in the minds of those at the time, and indeed they would have also prayed in order to alleviate this concern as to what had occurred, since there were companions on both sides who were fighting one another. Indeed, they must have prayed for guidance as well, and surely God Almighty would have granted them guidance too. Thus, according to a narration, Abu Zuhar relates that Amr bin Sharajil Abu Maisra, who was from amongst the best students of Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud, saw in a dream that there is a beautiful garden full of greenery in which there are a few tents. One of those belonging to Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir, and there were a few other tents in which Dhul-Qilah was also there. And so Abu Maisra inquired as to how this was possible, for they had fought against one another. He then heard a sound saying, they found their Lord to be most forgiving, and hence they are now together. Thus, these matters are now with God Almighty, and it is not for us to entertain these issues. And it is because of these wars and conflicts, and the fact that Muslims continue to dwell over these issues, that it has caused a great divide amongst them, and we are witnessing the impact of this even today. In fact, these incidents should be a lesson for us, and so instead of dwelling over them, rather we should be seeking ways to establish unity amongst ourselves. I once mentioned an account related by Hazrat Muslim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which was in reference to Amir Muawiyah. And upon this, someone from one of the Arab countries wrote to me and said that he was the leader of a murderous and rebellious group. Therefore, why do I say his name with such respect? Therefore, this narration in which the dream was mentioned is a sufficient enough response, in that God Almighty is most forgiving and he is ever merciful. And so we should focus on reforming our own conditions and our own affairs instead of commenting about them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also in certain places has praised Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, And so we too, rather than commenting on the errors of these noble men, we should instead take lessons from it. In regards to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, it is also mentioned that once when a battle was taking place between him and Hazrat Ali, and the discord was increasing amongst them, a Christian king sought to launch an attack on the Muslims, considering their condition to be weak. When Hazrat Amir Muawiyah learnt of this news, he said to the king that if this is what you think, then remember that if you launch an attack, I will be the first general fighting under the flag of Hazrat Ali, and I will fight along with him against you. Therefore, come into your senses and act accordingly. Thus, such is the status of these people. May God Almighty enable us to remain as one and remain established on being united and enable
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَاذْكُرُوا يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ